B. Economic planning, destined to fail. Under the planned economy, an entire society's production, allocation of resources, and distribution of products are based on a plan established by the state. This is completely different from the organic planning of firms and individuals. The planned economy has natural and obvious defects. First, it requires the collection of a huge amount of data in order to make reasonable arrangements for production. For a country, especially a modern one with a large population, the amount of relevant information is unimaginably large. For instance, the former Soviet Union's Commodity Pricing Bureau had to set prices for 24 million different kinds of goods. Such calculations are impossible. The complexity and variability of society and people cannot be solved through a unified planned economy. Even with the use of modern big data and artificial intelligence, human thoughts cannot possibly be input as variables, and so the system will always be incomplete. Economist Ludwig von Mises discussed the relationship between socialism and the market in his article, Economic Calculation and the Socialist Commonwealth. He notes that without a real market, a socialist society won't be able to make reasonable economic calculations. Thus, the distribution of resources cannot be rationalized, and the planned economy will fail. Secondly, economic planning requires coercive state control of resources. This ultimately requires absolute power, quotas, and commands. Moreover, an economics of power is first of all beholden to politics, rather than to the needs of actual people. When the requirements of the real world fail to conform to state planning, then state power tramples on natural economic trends, thus causing mass misallocation of capital and all its attendant problems. The planned economy uses the limited power and wisdom of government to play God. This is doomed to failure. Economic planning and high-pressure politics are inseparable. Because national plans are inevitably flawed, when there are problems, the plans will be challenged both inside and outside government. Those in power then feel that their authority is being challenged and will fight back with political pressure and purges. Mao Zedong, for instance, ignored the laws of economics and forced through the Great Leap Forward, resulting in a 3-year famine that caused tens of millions of deaths. This led to yet further challenges for him, which is a key reason he later launched the Cultural Revolution. The disastrous effects of the planned economy and collective ownership have been fully exhibited in the current conditions of Chinese state-owned enterprises. In recent years, a large number of Chinese state-owned enterprises have stopped or slowed production, have suffered losses every year, or have become insolvent. They rely on government subsidies and rolling bank credit to maintain operations. They've essentially become parasites on the national economy, and many are widely known as zombie enterprises. Among the 150,000 state-owned enterprises in China, with the exception of state monopolies in the lucrative sectors of petroleum and telecommunications, other state-owned enterprises report minimal profits and suffer serious losses, serially destroying capital. By the end of 2015, their total assets accounted for 176% of GDP, debt accounted for 127%, and earnings accounted for only 3.4%. Some economists believe that the zombie enterprises have essentially hijacked China's economy. Meanwhile, economic planning deprives people of their freedom and forces the state to look after them. The essence of the project is about turning people into slaves and machines. All aspects of people's lives come under the control of the state, which locks people in an invisible prison, seeks to abolish free will, and alters the parameters of human life laid down by God. This is yet another manifestation of the communist revolt against God and natural law.